everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their little hearts with your hosts, us, it's Ariel and
Raylene. Hello.
Hello, everybody. So, for you, you know, the schedule goes on and on. Week after week, you get this excellent show. But for us, there's been a little delay. We recorded two episodes the week before last because last week I was in New York City and we knew it would be just way too annoying and difficult to record the episode while I was gone. Once again, we had the conversation that we have every time one of us is busy. We say, should we just not record an episode this week? We're allowed to take a week off. And then we go, nah, we could just record two at once.
Yeah.
So we did two at once, but in future, we maybe should just take a week off.
It always makes the lead up to your vacation so much more hectic.
It's so much more stressful because I'm like, okay, I'm going on vacation. We're like, okay, we need to record two episodes. We've got all these things we've got to do. And we like the week before is extra crammed. But last week's episode was really good.
Yeah, so. And I do like, you know, being consistent as much as we can. So we can take a couple weeks off. I don't want to take too many weeks off.
No,
we got to be there for our people.
We got this show, and we got to show up. Okay.
Precise.
So I went to New York. That's kind of my big little topic for today. I've got a bunch of things written down here that I've got to talk to you guys about. So number one, I went to New York. That's what the bullet point says. Mm-hmm. Then it says, Kaylee. I want to just say, hi, Kaylee.
Hi. Hello again.
So the wonderful, beautiful, perfect Kaylee Hyde runs our Instagram account. You guys know Kaylee because we've mentioned her loads before, but she's also just my pal, our pal. And every time I go to New York the last few years, I've stayed at her place. Mm-hmm. And it was such a great time. We had a couple of really good, what my dad calls pal days, where it's just two pals hanging.
Yeah.
And it was really, really lovely. And I just love seeing Kaylee. And I love getting to go and like insert myself into her life and be with her for a couple of days and then leave. And basically for the last 3 years, I have gone to New York for her birthday, which is why people are like, why'd you go to New York? And I'm like, it's my friend's birthday. They're like, is it a big one? I'm like, nope.
And luckily you're like not that far from New York. So, I mean, you can kind of do it. It's not like going out to California every year or something.
That's true. Although I will say the current flight situation, no one wants to talk about this because it's like just boring and depressing, but the current plane situation in the world, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be expensive, they probably should be expensive to dissuade people from flying because it's bad for climate change, but there's some things going on here that I cannot wrap my mind around how these airlines are allowed to be such terrible companies. Like it's like absurd what they get away with. And like, so I was on, and I've heard of this happening before. This wasn't even in my notes. So we're already off piece.
Off the rails.
We're already off the bullet point list here. I'd heard of this happening, but I'd never witnessed it before until this trip.
Okay.
So basically there used to be, before the pandemic, there used to be pretty constant direct flights from Halifax to New York.
Okay.
They are not happening anymore with much frequency. Okay. So basically after the obviously during the pandemic, lots of routes stopped. Then some routes got reintroduced. So there is a couple of flights that go from Halifax to New York, but not many anymore. Yeah, like it's like a couple a week and they're pretty expensive because there's only a few of them.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't afford to do that. And so I had to fly through Toronto. Obviously, this adds the complication of what if you miss your connection, which I did.
Oh!
So I know. So this is what happened. So basically, I had over an hour between the two flights, and it was from Billy Bishop Airport. My Toronto pals know what I'm talking about, but basically it's a tiny airport that only has one gate.
Yeah.
So like you're not going to be running across Heathrow and miss your flight or not know what gate to go to. Right. No, you like literally land, you get off the plane into a lobby, and then you would go to the next door.
Yeah, I've been to an airport like that. It's like you just can't get lost.
No, you literally can't. So I was like, an hour for the connection seems like loads of time. And obviously that's how they sold it to me. Like they seemed to think that was lots of time. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So anyways, I'm sitting in the Halifax airport waiting for this first flight. And I can just tell this flight's not going to take off on time. Because like I don't know, you once you fly a lot, you know what the air what the stewardesses are supposed to be doing. And oh, I'm like, they're not even doing that thing yet. They're not even doing that thing yet. I'm like, we're not fly. This is, we're late. So then it's like, we're supposed to leave at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. It's 10:50. Oh, God. No one's on the plane. We're all just sat there still. They haven't announced anything.
Oh, that's scary.
And they say, we've oversold this flight. We are too heavy. That's what they said. They're too heavy. So I'm guessing that like they just didn't account for the amount of check-in bags that people had.
Yeah, I'm like, how? That's a weird one.
Literally don't understand how. I know. It sounds fake to me, but okay. I know that you can't, like, weight really does matter in airplanes and helicopters. My dad is a helicopter pilot, and he's talked to me before about how, like, when you have cargo and people, you have to balance the helicopter and also. So I know that weight is a real thing and a factor. But in this case, I'm like, how did you guys do this? You fly planes every day. Like, okay, whatever. Anyways,
this is literally your thing.
This is the whole thing that you do. They're like, our plane is too heavy. We need 6 people to agree not to fly. We will give those 6 people A, the same exact flight, but tomorrow at 11 a.m. Instead of today at 11 a.m. B, a free hotel night at the airport. And C, $1,000.
Whoa.
Like, we've got a full-on auction going
people
on.
People are like, wait, I want $1,000.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay. I actually think that that's a fine model to do. Like, you have the airline has messed up and they need help from the customers. And so they're offering the customers something that's semi-generous. Mm-hmm. That's a fine system. How did you not know to do that an hour ago? Everyone here was checked in an hour ago. Yeah. How did you not, like, start this process until 10 minutes before original takeoff time?
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
Right? It took them an hour to figure this all out. And I'm like, okay, there's no way I'm catching that flight.
Yeah.
Right? And I know, because of what I mentioned before, I know that there's so few direct flights to New York that I bet you lots of people have the same connection that I have. Mm-hmm. And so the next flight, because
you'll be screwed up.
The next flight will also probably get full up. And what if I'm not one of the... And I'm just like, this is so silly. And so then finally, we get on the flight. And I, like, get a notice that said that I'd been rebooked onto that second flight. Like, that next flight leaving. Because I was going to land at 2:15. And my flight was supposed to take off from Toronto at 2.
Oh, so I missed it. Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, we've rebooked you onto the 3 o'clock. And I'm like, cool. So I land. I get some food. God, all the food sucked and was so expensive.
I know, that's the worst thing about airports. You're like, I'm starving and I have to pay $13 for an egg and a piece of apple.
That's exactly it. It's so funny. And then I'm like, okay, no problem. Whatever. I'm rebooked. I'm still going to make it in time. Because the other thing I should have mentioned beforehand was I was flying, and I never do this, but I was flying the same day as the event. I was supposed to get to Kaylee's birthday party that night at 6 p.m. or sorry, at 7 p.m. The reason I booked the flight was because I was supposed to land in New York at 3.
Yeah.
I was like, even if everything gets delayed, I've got hours of buffer. But also, because of this whole stupid system, the flights before on Saturday and on Friday were like $200, $300 more. And not I'm like, worth. I don't got the cash to do that that buffer. I can't afford the buffer. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to have to try and make it work. Anyways, my second flight gets delayed. Delayed by, again, over an hour. And I'm just like, I'm just sitting there like, I felt quite calm, honestly, because it was so completely out of my hands, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm also just like enraged the whole time at the concept calm, of bad service. I felt really calm. Like, I wasn't mad at anyone. I wasn't like, you've betrayed you've betrayed me. But I just so frustrated when companies do slimy stuff like that. And because we just especially in Canada, but in other places as well, we just don't have options. Like, you're like, why don't you take the train? Guys, there's 2 trains that leave Nova Scotia a week. So I only have 2, maybe now there's 3, but it's 1 train line via rail. The only place it can take you is Montreal. It only leaves 3 times a week, and it takes over 24 hours to get to Montreal. Like, it's like, so that's not an actual option, right? That's the only option I have other than driving. And then, like, so then we, it's like, oh, the only way to get to New York is to fly. And then we only have 3 airlines in Canada. And really, it's like 2.5. Yeah. Air Canada and WestJet. And then there's kind of Porter. But then there's all these little subsidiaries, all owned by Air Canada and WestJet. Uh-oh. I went on a rant, Raylene. I went on a rant.
It's okay. You're allowed to do that.
I just think that it's so awful when companies have a monopoly like that and then they just, like, treat everyone like they're, like, garbage.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we are here because we're trapped here, but you could still be nice. But they're like,
nah.
No, no.
Why would we do that?
No, no. So anyways, the trip there kind of sucked because of all of this delay and nonsense. But the trip was lovely. Seeing Kaylee was really fun for her birthday. I got to go to some bookshops. I bought some books. I also bought some really cool pants that...
Oh, cool.
It was very exciting, actually.
I love it when you buy pants when you're traveling. I don't know why, but that's something that really
tickles
me. It's like, wow, you bought cool pants. Like, good for you.
I know. Like, pants, really cool pants. And, like, they are from a brand called Big Bud Press. I don't know if you've heard of them.
That sounds great.
But they are very cool. And I've always, like, I've looked at their stuff online loads of time, but the shipping to Canada is, like, really expensive. Mm. So I was like, hey, this is actually a great thing to get in the States because I don't have to pay for the shipping. And they're rust red. And they're in the Western style, so they kind of look slightly cowboyish, but actually. Like, just like a tinge of a flair,
Know?
Yeah, I went to some good bookshops. I went to the Strand, which I haven't gone to in a really long
time. I've
been
wondering about the Strand. I couldn't remember what happened to them, because I remember during COVID, there was the whole thing
where
we thought they were closing, and... I haven't checked in on them in 4 years, so I'm glad they're still alive.
Yeah, we were literally in the neighborhood, and I was looking for a book, and Kaylee was looking for a book, and we're like, the Strand will probably have these. Mm. So we just walked down a block and went in there. And I really respect the Strand for being a giant bookshop in New York. I think that historically it's very cool, but it's just so busy. And we went in there like... on a Tuesday, you know what I mean? Like, and it was still like really busy.
Yeah, that's
so it's
fun.
Just so jam-packed with not just tourists, like everyone is in the Strand. It's just kind of claustrophobic, honestly. So that's why I had been avoiding it the last few years. And then this time I was like, well, I haven't been there in like probably like 5 years.
Yeah.
I'll go. No. I liked it because I like the Strand concept, but not this time. But I did go. Jeremy, who you know, my friend, took me to a bookshop that I sent you photos of almost right away, which was called Sweet Pickle Books.
I think that's my favorite thing ever.
Absolutely loved it. It's a really, really great little bookshop. Very like... narrow hole in the wall type vibe, very small. It's I think was almost entirely a used bookshop. There was like I remember there was a couple of new books, but almost mainly used books. But the other thing is they sell pickles. They make pickles there, and they just had jars of pickles everywhere. And it was just such a funny combo. And you're like, some combos don't make any sense. That this one does not make any sense,
yeah,
like logistically.
No,
but it's also like, who doesn't like pickles? So if you're in Sweet Pickle Books and you see a delicious variety of pickles, why wouldn't you buy pickles?
Exactly. It's just so strange that it does work.
Yes. I really respect it. I really loved it. I thought it was such a cool shop. I didn't end up finding anything in there that I actually wanted to buy, but I just enjoyed going to a really cool, unique bookshop. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't buy any pickles because they, which is so sad, but they all came in jars that were over the airplane limit.
You would have had to eat them before you left.
I would have had to eat all of them.
You're like, I got no books, but I did eat an entire jar of pickles in 2 days.
It was a little too much, but I really do recommend it. I think that they were telling me that it kind of blew up recently-ish because Harry Styles went there or something. Like, and so he was photographed there, and then everyone like found out about the shop or something.
Well,
so
good for them. That's awesome.
Good for them. Yeah, good for them. And then my final note under my bullet point My bullet point, I went to New York, subsection, next bullet point, is I got to see Olivia. So we've had Olivia, Stories for Coffee, here on the podcast before. Early on, she was one of our guests, and love that episode. Check it out. I can link that in the description if you want. I don't remember, because I don't remember what number it was.
It was a long time ago. It was like episode 12 or something. Like, it was an early episode.
She was one of our first guests, yeah. But I knew I was going to New York, and mainly I was going to go see Kaylee and hang out with Jeffrey and Jeremy and stuff. But I was like, I would love to see Olivia. I haven't seen Olivia in a long time, and she's great. Like, I'd love to be, like, you just become closer friends with her. And so I messaged her. I was like, would you want to hang out? She was like, absolutely. So we set up, we were going to get dinner or lunch and then go to MoMA. Museum of Modern Art. And when I saw her, first of all, she was taller than I remember, but secondly, I feel like we look like sisters. Thirdly, she was like, it's been 5 years. Oh. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, the last time I saw you was in 2019 at like BookCon or something. Oh, and I was like, oh my God, I hadn't realized. I knew it'd been a long time, but of it's just like the before the pandemic and after the acute pandemic. We got a comment from someone who's like, we shouldn't say that the pandemic is over. And I'm like, I'm not saying that the pandemic's over, but I think we can agree the acute pandemic is over. The part where we weren't vaccinated and had no information or knowledge about what was going on.
Scared to go
on.
Outside, you know.
Yeah, literally had anxiety attacks about going outside. We're past that part of the acute pandemic. But yeah, before the acute pandemic, it's just like that timeline is such a blur to me now. The fact that that was 5 years ago.
I know, it feels like almost like a dead zone of life. Like so many things just didn't happen or were on pause or were weird.
So overall, I had a fun trip and I did buy some books. So I've got a bit of a book haul. I will say I didn't buy as much stuff this time. This trip felt really different to all of my other New York trips, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things was just like, I just really felt how expensive New York was. Like, it felt actually felt hostile to me. God. I was like, how can a coffee be that much money?
Yeah.
Like, but also because it's American dollars. So you're like, so it was like an $8 coffee.
Oh my God.
And you're like, okay, Canadian, we're talking, that's like an $11, a $12 coffee.
I know, I miss the days when the exchange was the opposite. Like, we would go to the States because it was cheaper for us to buy stuff there.
It felt cheaper,
And it hasn't been like that for a long time.
Really long time. And then, you know, they want you to tip on the coffee. And you're like, we're talking about a $15 latte. And I'm like,
you're like, I'll just go out. I'll just be tired.
Or like one of the days we went to a Mexican restaurant and everyone was so excited to order a margarita. And you know I love a margarita.
Yeah. Oh, but that would be really expensive.
They were $14 margaritas.
Yikes.
And in Canada, a $14 margarita hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
But in America, we're now talking about an $18 Canadian margarita. And I'm like, plus tip. Yeah. We're talking about a $20 drink.
That's a meal right there.
I'm like, oh my God. Like, it was so expensive. And I just like, this time I just didn't spend very much money compared to my usual haul. Like, I bring a lot of books home. But also, I just found this year that I think both of us haven't been buying very many books.
Yeah,
this year.
I haven't felt the urge as much. And I did get a couple of books during our time off as well, but it was through thrifting. Like, I went to one thrift store and managed to like find a couple of cool things. So that's the only reason I bought books. But I haven't felt the urge to like go into a new bookstore in a while. Like, every time I think about it, if I'm like at the mall where there happens to be a Kohl's, I'm like, should I go in there? And I'm like, no, I don't have anything specific I'm looking for. Why bother?
Yeah.
I could just go home and do something else.
Yeah. I had that similar feeling one of the times. Kaylee recommended a bookshop to me that honestly sounded really great. Mm. And I was like, the next morning, I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to go to that bookshop. And I was like, but the thing is, I don't need another book.
Yeah. I know, it's weird. I don't know why we're suddenly just having that realization this year. Like, what changed?
It's really funny, though, because I did buy 5. So it's not like it's not like I bought 0, but like I used 12. To buy like 10. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like it is a lot less. And one of the ones I have actually already read. So I only bought 4, it felt like.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll talk about those in a minute. How about you, Raylene? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. So my it's basically been 2 weeks since we chatted. So my last couple of weeks have been very not interesting, but like I just feel like I've kind of changed a little bit. Like my friends I went to a yoga Lattes class.
Oh my God, you're a completely different person.
I know, I've changed. And so since then, I've just like gotten into stretching and doing yoga like every day. Cool. Like I've gotten into like a mindset of I want to be more active and I'm actually doing it. It's not just like a wishful thinking type thing. It's like, no, I actually, like my goal, and I'm putting this out into the universe, so it's going to happen. I want to be able to do the splits again. I used to be able to do the splits when I was a young teen because I did like gymnastics and acro and stuff. And I want to be able to do that again. So I've been practicing and I'm not there yet, but I will be eventually. But anyway, so this yoga Lattes really cool class goal. That we went to, I had never been to a workout class before. I always just do my own thing. I've never been to a class because it kind of scares me. But my friend was like, I'm going to this class. Usually she goes with her family and they weren't available. So she's like, do you guys want to come with me? And so we were like, okay, sure. Yeah, let's do this. And so we went.
Yeah.
And it was just like at a rec center. So we were in a little room that was basically above where like there's a swimming pool on one side and an ice rink on the other side. And we were like looking down on both of those things. And there just so happened to be a public skate and then a hockey game happening while we were doing the yoga Lattes.
Amazing.
So it was very loud. The lady warned us that sometimes pucks will hit the glass, but not to worry. It's all good. Luckily, that didn't happen when we were doing the class. But at the very end of the class, when we're all doing Shavasana, which for those who don't know is basically just lying on the floor, completely relaxed, she had music playing in the room. And there was also like Thunderstruck or something playing during the hockey game. And it was just so cacophonous. And I was just laying there like, I can't relax while this is happening. It was the least relaxing Shavasana I've ever experienced.
That's really funny.
It made me appreciate like working out by myself at home. And so I was like,
that's interesting.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to get into this. And so I've been stretching every day and it's been feeling great. So
that's really cool. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I have a friend whose goal this year is to learn how to do a handstand.
I love that.
That's similar to your like, I want to do a split. It's like a very specific body move.
Exactly. Like I would love to be able to be a person who could do a handstand again too. Like I used to be so bendy and like I could do back walkovers and stuff. Like it was so fun. I'll probably never get there again, but a handstand is very doable.
Seems doable. That's a fun goal. But also honestly seems pretty hard.
Like, it is pretty hard, especially if you're talking like handstand without a wall. Like to be able to just stand
free. She's talking without a wall.
I've never been able to do that successfully.
She's in circus. Like she's like a bit of an acrobat. And like she's been learning that the last few years. And so that's like,
that's
awesome. I feel like she'll be able to do it. But she sends me progress videos. And I would have just thought it would take like 2 weeks and she'd be doing a handstand.
So hard.
But absolutely not. It's like I'm like really gaining a lot of respect for what an acrobat can
totally do. Like you have to be so strong to be able to do any of that like so strong. Crazy. And that's the other thing I'm learning. I'm like, I have no upper body strength at all. Like I tried doing a push-up during a Pilates class and I was like, oh, that's interesting, my triceps don't exist, so that's fun. So I'm on a whole journey right now. So yeah, my main thing is splits, but I do just want to generally become more fit and stretchy.
All right, so that's how we've been the last few weeks. Busy, but I have a couple more updates I've got to do before into some books. Oh, you do too. Okay, great. We've got lots to talk about, people. We are very excited actually to announce that our first bookmarks from the Bookmark Club have been shipped out, and I got mine and they are so beautiful.
Yay.
So we worked with this amazing artist named Sophie Adele, who I found on Instagram ages ago. I followed her. I'm like obsessed with her account. And then when we were like, let's choose our artists, I was like, really look at her. She does these amazing interiors. And you loved her too. And we were like, what if she did our reading corners?
Yeah,
and so each bookmark is one of our reading corners, which is just so cute. And then each sticker is our reading chairs.
My little chair.
These might be my favorite stickers we have had. Obviously, I'm very biased.
Yeah, they're so like, personal.
That's my chair. but also this year we've started sending out these really lovely artist cards that just like explain and give a bio of the artist and everything. So I'm just really happy with that. So if you are part of the Bookmark Club, if you're part of the Bookmark, my brain blanked. If you're part of the Bookmark Club, these should be on their way to you. If you're not, unfortunately, the window to subscribe is closed. But our leftover packs have just have just come out a few days ago.
Oh, hell yeah.
So basically, every year we order a specific amount for the people that are subscribed to the club. Mm-hmm. But we always have to order a bit extra in case people don't show up, and just in case of all sorts of different in cases. Yeah. And then at the end of the year, we're left with a couple of these packs of our beautiful bookmarks and beautiful stickers that didn't get shipped out. And so it's very inconsistent how many we have. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember how many we have, but we have like more of some than the other and stuff. But if you want to check them out, that will be linked in the description and you can go and buy last year's pack. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice way, because this really is, if you're like, damn, I really missed out last year, I wish that I had gotten them, this is literally it, because they're just the leftovers. We're not actually reprinting them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then my final update that I wanted to mention before we move over to you, Raylene, is that I was on another podcast. Yeah, that's right. What? I betrayed Books Unbound.
How dare you?
So this was actually recorded a year ago.
What?
It was a year ago that this was recorded. Okay. Yeah, it was when I was in England last spring. And Sana of Books and Quills, who we've also had on this podcast, mm-hmm. had asked me to go on her brand new podcast called The End of the World Book Club, which is a very cool name, I mm-hmm. think. And it's basically a book club for dystopian books.
Oh, cool.
And she loves dystopian books. And so she's got all sorts of cool episodes and like reading different books and exploring different topics mm-hmm. and having on a bunch of different guests. And I was on her first full main episode Ooh. Reviewing and talking about and discussing 1984 Hell by yeah. my man, George Orwell.
Of course.
So that just came out like a week ago. And I really wanted to shout it out here because I really think that if you like Books Unbound, I'm sure you'll like Sana's new podcast. Yeah. Again, we'll link that in the description. It's called The End of the World Book Club, and you can find it everywhere, wherever you listen to podcasts. So I wanted to shout that out for sure.
Very cool.
There you go. All right, really, what about you?
Well, my last update is less cool than all of those things, but I just wanted to talk about the fact that we got a PS5 recently.
Wait, I love this update.
Yeah, so we've been saving up for a while because I was like, I really want a PS5, but one, they're so expensive, and two, so like expensive. We would need to get an extra controller, and like we need to get games and all this stuff. So we basically gave ourselves like this window of savings that we needed to reach before we could buy anything. And so we've been saving for a few months, and we finally reached it. And I was like, it's time. Let's get the PS5. We need it. Like, we have had a PS4 for a long, long time, and it is like, it basically is dead. It barely works.
Yeah.
And so we were like, you know what? Yeah, it's time. And so we did that. And I've been having so much fun because we also got the like PlayStation Online thing, whatever that is. And I didn't realize that they have basically this whole library of games that you can just, if you're subscribed, you can just download almost any game. Like, there are some games that you obviously would have to pay extra for, but there's just like this huge library of cool games. And I think it's such a cool system. So I don't have to, you know, buy a $60 game that I might not even like, only to, you know, have to buy another game that's also $80. And so it's just been really fun. And so I've been playing the newest Life is Strange game recently over the past few days. And I have been wanting to play this game since it came out. It came out a couple years ago, but my computer wasn't powerful enough to play it. So I was like, God, I'll never be able to play this game. But now that I have a strong machine, I'm able to play it. And I'm so, so excited. So yeah, that's basically my update. I just wanted to let you know that I'm really into gaming now. So I might
You're
not-
You're a gamer girl and a yoga girl.
I know, like, there's no time for reading. I'm stretching and playing games all the time now. But I did read a little bit. I read a little bit while we were off, so.
Yeah, so did I. So, I mean, that's a beautiful transition. Let's talk about books. Well, I think we need to start with our hauls, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
Start with our hauls. I have 5 books to haul. What about you?
I have 4, so that's actually pretty cool.
Oh, okay, perfect. Well, I'll start us off and we'll just go back and forth. Why not? The first book I'm going to haul, okay, I'll start with Human Acts by Han Kang. So this, I had to grab this for a couple of reasons. Number one, I have seen this so many places for the last few years, and I always think about it, but I go, nah, I just keep not getting it. Mm-hmm. But then this time I finally got convinced because Kaylee saw it and was like, have you read this? I really think you'd like this. This is one of my favorites. Like, she really pitched it. And it's so different when you have like a personal recommendation from a friend. You're like, okay, actually. But then also she was like, it's marked down for $5. So I was like, okay, this is a situation where like it actually doesn't make sense to go home and buy it. Yeah. Like this is, it's not going to get cheaper. So I'm excited about this because I did really like The Vegetarian when I read it all that time ago. And so now I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I read another book by this author?
Totally.
It's quite short. It's like 220 pages or something. And the reason that like that the kind of honestly the thing that tipped me over was that Kaylee was like, you like ghosts, right? I was like, yeah. She was like, there's this there's a ghost. And I was like, okay.
Sold.
I'll get it.
Easy money.
So that was the first one. That I'll mention. What about you?
Nice. So, yeah, I mentioned that I went thrifting, I think. I found a few books there. So the first one I found was Lord of the Flies by William Golding, which seems random, but this is a book I read in high school like everybody else did. And I've been wanting to get my hands on a copy, but I wanted like a decent looking copy because most of them are so ugly. Like I really hate that main cover with the pig on it. And
Really? Okay, that's interesting because I disagree. I think it's so iconic.
Yeah. It is iconic, but I'm like, you know what? In this case, I want something else. And so I got this cover that has like a big bug on it and a picture of Piggy. Like, I like this one. And I was like, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity. I've actually been trying to find it for a while now. Like every time I go thrifting, I'm like, Lord of the Flies? No.
Yeah.
No, not today. But yeah, so that felt good because cool. It's a book I've already read. So I have two of those that are just books I've already read that I happened to pick up.
I like that. Yeah, I actually would, I think I would really enjoy rereading that book because I really liked it when I read it. But I was literally in grade 10.
Like, I know, like, I've been thinking about it for a long time. 14, I'm like, 15. I should read that again.
Yeah. Okay, the next book that I bought was Sister Love, The Letters of Audre Lorde and Pat Parker. So basically every time that I go into a bookshop now, I try and see if they have a collection of letters and usually they do, which is interesting.
Cool.
It's always like letters and diaries or letters and journals.
Yeah.
And there's always more journals and diary published than letters, but there's always seems to be some letters, which is really fun. It says poets Audre Lorde and Pat Parker first met in 1969. They began exchanging letters regularly 5 years later. Over the next 15 years, Lorde and Parker shared ideas, advice, and confidences through the mail. They sent each other handwritten and typewritten letters and postcards, often with inserted items including articles, money, and videotapes. Sister Love, this book, gathers this correspondence for readers to eavesdrop on Lorde and Parker. They discuss their work as writers as well as the intimate details of their lives, including periods when each lived with cancer. So it seemed really, really neat. Oh, yeah, it finishes. Sister Love is a rare opportunity to glimpse inside the minds and friendship of two great 20th century poets. There's a couple of things about that that seem really cool. I've heard lots about Audre Lorde and Pat Parker, but I've never, like, read a collection by either of them.
Yeah.
I feel like I've read one-off poems, but not, I don't really know them very well as poets. So I was like, what an interesting way to get to know these
people. Yeah, that's really
cool. But then the other thing that intrigued me was I love that the person who wrote the synopsis like admits to eavesdropping. The use of that word, I was like, yeah, because it is what we're doing when we're like reading correspondence. That like that is eavesdropping.
It's like somebody reading our text messages to each other.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think it's so fascinating. And the fact that these are literally two poets writing to each other. I'm like, what is their writing style going to be like? Is it going to be poetic or is it not? Like, is their poetry kind of this thing that they do over here but not? Like, I don't text you differently than how I talk, but at the same time, I'm not trying to impress you that way, right?
Like, it's if we were writing letters, I'm sure we would write a little bit differently.
Maybe we would try and be a little fancier.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just seemed that I thought that seemed cool, and I'm enjoying my farage into letters, of course. So
that is fun. And actually, that just kind of reminded me that when we were teenagers, we actually did used to write each other letters, which is kind of a fun fact. We would send each other a book and a letter. Like every now and then we would pick a theme for the book and then we would just write each other a letter. And there were always like multiple pages of just like updates from our lives, even though we talked online too. It was just
we
a
must
cute little
have
thing we
those
did.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
I must have those somewhere. That's so I'd forgotten about that until just now.
Right. But it was really so cute. I love that we did
we're
that.
Adorable.
We were cute teenagers. Okay. The next book I found was another one that I've been like looking for a long time. And it's kind of random, but it's Jellicoe Road by Melina Marchetta, which is a book that was, I mean, it made the rounds when, like a long time ago. I remember it was really big on BookTube for a little while there. And I don't really know that much about it, but I've just been curious about it for a long time because I've read a lot of reviews where people are like, this book was so good. And like, it took me a while to understand what was happening. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, what's, it's a kind of a mystery. It's the beginning of the synopsis kind of explains the plot well. At age 11, Taylor Markham was abandoned by her mother. At 14, she ran away from boarding school only to be tracked down and brought back by a mysterious stranger. Now 17, Taylor's the reluctant leader of her school's underground community whose annual territory war with the townies and visiting cadets has just begun. So that sounds, I mean, I think I probably wanted to read it because of boarding school, honestly, back in the day. But yeah. I'm also kind of on a quest to read more Australian authors. So that's also partly why I'm excited about it. But yeah, it's funny. I've just been like, this book popped back into my consciousness again recently. And then I happened to see it when I was at the thrift store. So I was like, buying that. So
yeah, that's really funny because I have had that book on my shelf for probably 15 years.
Okay, we should buddy read it.
And I keep meaning to read it. Like, I've been meaning to read it for 15 years because when it blew up on BookTube like 15 years ago or whatever, 12 years ago, I was like, this does sound really good. And I bought it, but then I never ended up getting around to it.
I love that you still have it though. So I think that's a sign. We should read that. Because also I've heard so many good things about it. And like, we don't read a lot of YA anymore, but so many people love this book, even people who don't typically read YA. So I'm like, ugh, like it won the Prince Award. Like, it's one of those YA books that's like top tier. So
totally,
it's one that I've just been really wanting to read. So I'm glad I finally found it.
Okay, so the next book that I bought is Letter to the Americans by Jean Cocteau. So I saw this on a little stand, and I was just intrigued by the look of it for sure. It's was a cover pickup. I was like, that's pretty. And then I was like, wasn't Jean Cocteau in Midnight in Paris? I was like, I kind of feel like he was one of the like artists or something in Midnight in Paris. I just looked it up. I don't think he was in Midnight in Paris. I think I might have been wrong about that. But that's okay. I have heard lots about Jean Cocteau before, but I don't really, like, I've heard his name around, but I really don't know what he did.
Right.
Or anything. So, right. And then I looked him up when I got home that night. I was like, what is this? Who is this guy? And he seems like a really neat artist. Like, that, I'm like, what can I say other than artist? He seems to have just been like, a writer and a filmmaker. And it says French poet, playwright, novelist, designer, film director. Like, he did a lot of stuff. Generally a cool guy. So he seems very intriguing. But this is Letter to the Americans. And on the back, I thought it was so interesting. In 1949, Jean Cocteau spent 20 days in New York and began composing this powerful essay on the plane ride home. Cocteau compares and contrasts French and American cultures. So basically, it's just like this essay that he wrote about his trip. And I was like, I'm on a trip to New York.
That's cute.
And I bought it.
I love it.
Yeah, it seems cool. All right. What's your next one?
My next one, as I mentioned, I found another book that I've already read. So I found another copy of The Great Gatsby.
I picked that up.
It's funny. It's one of these, like, every time I find one that's like, oh, this is like a very obvious copy, it's funny that I don't have it. Like, it's just another Penguin copy, the ones with like the kind of minty green spine. And I somehow didn't have this one. So I've added that to my collection. Not much to say about that.
I respect that. I respect that. Okay, the next one that I got was The Letters of Vincent Van Gogh.
Olivia loved that book.
Exactly.
So
So our plan with Olivia was to meet up for lunch and then go to MoMA. And when I was looking at kind of where the restaurant was and where the MoMA was, I was like, oh, there's a really beautiful bookshop here. And I asked Olivia, have you been to this McNally Jackson? And she was like, I didn't know there was one there. And I was like, yeah, it's like brand new. It had just opened recently when I went last time. The twins or Kaylee took me there. And so I was like, okay, fun. We've got to stop there. Like, you've got to see this gorgeous bookshop. So we just kind of rerouted slightly to hit it. And we looked around, and I actually ended up getting the last book I'll talk about. But then we were like, that was fun. And then we went to MoMA. And we spent like a couple hours in MoMA walking around, chatting, got a coffee, the whole thing. God, that coffee was so good. It came with a shortbread cookie. we did the whole museum. And throughout the museum experience and chatting and everything, we both just convinced each other to get a book. She really That's convinced cute. Me to get this Letters of Van Gogh, and I convinced her to buy 84 Charing Cross Road.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So we then were like, we just got to go back to the bookshop. So we like left MoMA, went back to that McNally Jackson. Yeah. It's the Rockefeller one. And then thankfully they had both of the books
That's
in
perfect.
Stock.
Wow.
I know, it was really lucky. And then we purchased them and then said bye. Like, it was like a really perfect little hang. It was a lot of fun. But I know this was, if not her favorite, one of her favorite books from last year that mm-hmm. she read. She was really, really in love with it. And I'm obviously loving letters. So it took very little convincing, but yeah. I was like, no, that sounds so, so good. Yeah, so I got that.
That's really awesome. And the last book I got was actually, it's an ARC that was sent to me by Penguin Random Ooh. House. Shout out to Cam. Thank you so much. We love Cam.
Thank you, Cam.
And this one sounds so cool. It's called How It Works Out by Miriam Lacroix.
Oh, yes.
And it sounds so cool. And this author is from Quebec, so love a Canadian book as well. But this comes out in May. May 21st is when this comes out. And it was kind of pitched to us as like Everything Everywhere All at Once and like a queer love story. Like, it's just like, whoa, okay. But basically, it's about two women who fall in love and then they kind of start like theorizing like what ifs about their future. They're like, what if this happened to us? What if this happened to us? And so there's a bunch of different, like each chapter is kind of a different one of those what ifs, and it follows a different thread down their life to see like what would have happened if this did happen. And so it's a bunch of strange scenarios and it's kind of surreal. It says surreal on the back. So I'm like, yeah, that's going to be really cool. So it's just like different timelines of possibilities and, you know, love. So I'm like, oh, that sounds
really cool.
Yeah.
It sounds really cool.
I really think I'm going to read it soon because I'm super excited about it. I've had it next to my bed. I have a few like kind of homeworky books that I need to read for the podcast, which you guys will find out about very soon. Next week, we haven't talked about it yet, but we're getting peach hair very soon. So next week will be peach week.
Yes.
So I've got something to talk about for peach week. But yes, so this has just been next to my bed and I'm really excited to finally get to it.
I love that. I also requested a copy of that, so I'm excited to get that eventually. All right. Well, then the last book that I got will actually transition us into some reviews because the last book that I bought, I have now read, and that is Brooklyn by Colm Tóibín. I was going to look up how to pronounce it, and I forgot to.
It might be Colm. I know in
It's Colm.
I forgot
the last name.
Yeah, I've never known that one.
Darn it. All right, so that's the last book I got. I'm going to talk about that in a second when we shift over to reviews, but there you go. That was the haul. All right, so let's start off our book reviewing.
Yeah.
I'm going to start by talking about Brooklyn by Colm Tóibín. Colm Tóibín is an Irish author who lives in Dublin and New York. He's been shortlisted for the Booker Prize 3 times, has won many other awards, including the Costa Book Award, and is a literature professor at Columbia University. Brooklyn was adapted into a film, which was released in 2015, starring Saoirse Ronan, and was nominated for 3 Academy Awards. Brooklyn was published in 2009, and a sequel, titled Long Island, set 20 years later, is coming in spring 2024. I started reading this as a meme! And then guess who memed her way into being the meme? I'm the meme now because it was amazing.
Oh, I'm so glad. I've never read it, but the movie is so good. So
the
movie
is so good. The book is so good.
Hell yeah.
So basically, like I said, I started this as a meme. Just, well, not, meme is a liberal word now, but I got it on my e-reader, actually, because I was like, haha, I'm going to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Maybe
wouldn't that be
I'll
funny?
Read Brooklyn. Good one, Ariel. Hilarious. But then I, by the time I got to New York, to Brooklyn, I probably read like 50%. I was like a little over half. Like it reads pretty quick and I was really enjoying it. So I was reading a lot on the airplane, reading a lot at the airport with all of my delays. So I was like, I'll just keep reading then. and so I just started, I like really got into it. And then while I was in Brooklyn, I didn't get, or in / New York, because my friends live in Brooklyn. So that's why I was staying there. While I was there, I didn't have that many opportunities to read, but I did find a few. And then on the way home again, I basically finished it.
That's awesome.
And then I like just read the last little time. I was literally at 90% when I got back to Canada. Ooh, so I just finished off that last little bit. And I really enjoyed it. So that's why I picked up a copy of Brooklyn while I was there, because I was like, okay, I'm here. I should get it while I'm here. Yeah. But everywhere I went didn't have it. They were all sold out, yeah. Which I guess makes a bit of sense. But also I feel like they should have more of, like, it's kind of, it's sort of like a merch item, right? Like, it's a touristy
Yeah, you'd think they'd have like a New York section and that would like be part
always
of it.
Be in it. But it was actually kind of hard to find. Like, every that's bookshop funny. That I went to, they didn't have it. And eventually, thankfully, I found it.
And that's a cool copy. Yeah. I've never seen that cover.
I know. I'm glad that they didn't have the movie tie-in version. They had the kind of official, what it looked like when it came out, cover. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I had seen the movie when it came out and really loved the movie. And I've rewatched it quite a few times since because I think it's a really great film. I always think in my head whenever I think about that film, I'm like, Tony. The way everyone says Tony in that movie is just hilarious to me. It's the story of Eilish, who is an Irish girl living in a really small town post-war, and nothing's going well. Like, she just has so little opportunity to prosper. There's no jobs in her town. There's few opportunities to educate herself. There's and one thing that's not in the movie but is in the book is that she has three older brothers. In the movie, it's just the mom, her, and the sister.
Yeah, that's a totally different vibe.
In the book, it's her mom, her sister, and her living in the house, but she has three brothers who have moved to England all over the last few years to find work. Yeah. And it adds a layer of the desperation a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, okay, like, literally everyone she knows and loves has had to leave the small Irish town, like, including her brothers that they all love so much had to leave. Mm-hmm. And her brothers, especially one brother, is kind of a character in the book. Like, she writes to him and thinks about him almost as much as she does her sister, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. But basically, you see that this is the reality of the situation. Like, you probably have to leave this Irish town in order to try and prosper, make something of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so her family set up with a priest who lives in Brooklyn for her to get a visa to go to America. And while she's in America, she can find a really good job. She can go to a college and get bookbinding, little Freudian slip there, bookkeeping qualification, and then, like, become a bookkeeper and work in a real office and prosper, right? It is very much, it's so interesting because it's like, it is about the American dream.
Yeah.
It's about going to America and trying to make something of yourself. Mm-hmm. But then you also have this character, Eilish, who, like, kind of doesn't want to be in America. She likes Ireland a lot. She loves her little town. She loves her family. She really doesn't want to go.
Yeah,
but she's also kind of like, no, you are right. Like, I'm not doing much here. Mm-hmm. So it's a heartbreaking story because it's like this concept of home versus opportunity. Yeah. And do you just stay where you are because you like the people that you're with and you have grown to love a town, but you have literally no chance to do anything? Mm-hmm. Whereas she goes to Brooklyn, it's kind of the opposite. You're going to have to start from scratch and build a family and build friends. And that can be really hard and isolating, especially in a time when Irish people, like, went through a lot of suffering and were not considered full people in America. Like, there's a lot of anti-Irish hate. And so she's like, I'm going to a place that kind of is hostile towards me. Mm-hmm. But I could make it work. And she does. She goes to college and she, like, gets a diploma so that she can be a real bookkeeper, and she works in cool shops. And but there's also this whole element of, like, the glamour of it is really, really a cool element to the story, because she's, like, over in America and she's starting to, like, buy cooler clothes. And, like, she gets access to these nylons that, like, they don't have in Ireland and stuff. And they are sending this, and she sends stuff back to her family. And when she returns, everyone's like, oh, you're wearing sunglasses? What the hell is that? Like, you're so cool. And so it's just really a beautiful story. And I really fell into it. I didn't think that I would. I honestly thought I would read the first few chapters and then would be like, I've always meant to read this book, or I've always been curious mm-hmm. about this book because I like the movie, but it turns out this isn't for me. But the exact opposite happened. Oh, I was like, wait, I didn't expect to fall in love with this, but I'm so invested in Eilish. And
yeah.
she's not a perfect character. She's not a bad character, but she's not particularly a good character either. Like, mm-hmm. she's just very human, which yeah. I think is why the book was so good.
Yeah.
Because you're like seeing great things that she does, and you're like, that was a brave moment, and that was an important moment, and I'm glad that she did that. Mm-hmm. But she also has all of these weaknesses where you're like, why did you do that? That was a shitty thing to do. Yeah. You should not have done that. I will say, I felt that the ending was a little bit rushed and that actually the movie did the ending better, I think.
Okay.
Like, it didn't extend it, but it just showed us a little bit more mm-hmm. in a way that like wraps it so much better, in my opinion, okay. and was like a little bit more satisfying. But there was also a couple of really like key moments in the movie that I really loved that were not in the book.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's so interesting. Like, Nick Hornby did the screenplay for Brooklyn.
I didn't know that.
And I was like, Nick Hornby actually, I think, added some things that were improvements, like yeah. really made some poignant points and metaphors. And I don't think this is a spoiler. You can't really spoil this movie. It's just about a girl who goes to on a boat. Do you remember near the end, like in the movie, she's going back to Brooklyn like for the second time and now she's kind of mature and she's the like woman who knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And she meets a young Irish girl and you have this like beautiful passing of time moment mm-hmm. where she's like, okay, wait, I had an older person help me when I came. Now it's my job to help yeah. you and we're all going to help each other. That is not in the book.
Oh, interesting.
And that to me is one of the most powerful moments in the movie. And so there's a couple of moments like that where I was like, wow, okay. So it was very interesting to read the book and contrast it to the movie. I really enjoyed it. And it was fun walking around Brooklyn and actually some of the street names on here, I'm like, hey, we're on the street that her shop was on or whatever.
I love that. That's beautiful. Well, I think that's a perfect transition into one of the things that I didn't exactly read. A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith.
Oh my God.
I thought we should talk about this.
Totally.
So after we last recorded, I sat down to read this book
yeah.
and decided I didn't feel like reading it anymore.
Whoa. How far into it were you?
I was about 25% into it, I want to say. Like, I read a big chunk of it.
Yep.
And I wanted to talk about it because I do think that it's a good book that lots of other people will like. So I did kind of want to hype it up. It just wasn't yeah. for me.
Yeah.
But one thing about the book that's really fun is that the main character is, she's a young girl who she's like 11 years old and she loves reading. She loves making up stories and like her dream is to be a writer. And yeah. so I know that a lot of people love that. Like, that's obviously a great thing for a main character, for people who love books. So that's the main thing. Yeah. I also wanted to say the descriptions of Brooklyn in the 1910s were so good. Like, if you love lush, like, descriptive writing, this book definitely has that. Like, it really put you there. And it almost kind of made Brooklyn feel like a cozy, like, small town community almost.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was
yeah,
giving
yeah.
me like Gilmore Girls vibes somehow. I don't know why, but it was kind of giving me that vibe of like everybody knows each other. You know, the kids yeah. will like go to this little shop and like the shop owner knows exactly who they are and will be
totally.
Like, yep, here's a loaf of bread or whatever. Like, it just was very like wholesome. So
yeah.
I yeah, it just gave me Gilmore Girls vibes, which I know people are often looking for that type of thing. So
yeah.
I wanted to mention that. And it also has really interesting like family kind of dynamics going on because you've got two young kids and then their parents, and the parents are both like poor and are struggling to get by, and they both like work these, you know, tough jobs of like cleaning and all this kind of stuff. And but then the father has a drinking problem. He develops a drinking problem like as the kids are growing up. But the daughter, like the main character, she loves her dad so much, even though he has all of these faults, and like the mother is maybe the more like upstanding person, but she like, she loves her dad so much, even though he's maybe not the best parent to her. And so
yeah.
I thought that was like a really interesting aspect of the book, is like her mom, you know, basically does everything for her, but she's maybe not as nice as the dad. And so the dad is just like her hero. And so
cool.
that was really interesting. But the reasons I didn't like it and didn't want to continue reading it is, one, I thought the book was way too long. I feel like it kind of meandered a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a plotless book, which is fine. We love plotless fiction. But the problem is, I feel like it didn't have anything else to kind of back up the plotless. ridiculousness.
Right.
You know, you have to have, I think, either really strong characters or a really strong, like, vibe of some kind that will, like, make the plotlessness okay. And I felt like after 25%, I didn't really feel like the characters were, like, fully formed people. Like, they just kind of felt flat. And I felt like a lot of the things that were happening were just, like, kind of happening to them without any reflection. Like, it was, I don't know, it just felt kind of flat for me. It didn't feel like a robust story or book. Right. So it got to the point where I was like, this isn't worth it for me, but I really think it would be worth it for some other people. So I did want to shout that out.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Well, those are our reviews of two books
about Brooklyn.
Set in Brooklyn. All right. Well, I actually finished two other books this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe?
That's crazy.
The first one is On Writing by Stephen King. Stephen King is a horror, thriller, and sci-fi writer. He was born in 1947 in Maine, where he still lives now. He has published over 60 books and is the author with the most movie adaptations of his books of all time. He has sold over 350 million copies of his books, making him one of the most popular authors of all time. On Writing was first published in 2000 and is a mixture of memoir and advice on the craft of writing. Writing the bio for Stephen King was kind of hilarious.
Yeah, you're like, he's just the most coolest, like, most prolific author of all time.
I know, I'm like, do I, like, you know how they say, like, this man needs no introduction? Yeah. I literally felt that with Stephen King. I was like, I feel kind of stupid writing this.
If you,
like,
don't
you
know who
Stephen
is,
King is. But so I tried to throw in that fun fact some people might not know, but the fact that he's the author with the most movies ever made from his books.
That makes a lot of sense.
Very cool. This was a reread for me, and I started reading it, rereading it as an audiobook the first time that I read it. And this might, I forget if this is the second or the third time that I've read the book, but the first time was also as an audiobook. So, but when I remember the first time that I read it, I also was reading the book. So I was kind of like listening, and it was a very immersive experience. This time I was just listening to it again in the car. And after the first session, I was only like less than an hour in. The next drive I did with Connor, and I was like, I think you might enjoy this, and you can really just drop in because it's a book about writing. Like, and so he dropped in and we started listening to it together, which was really great because it was fun to listen to it together. But the negative was that now I could only listen to the book with Connor. So it took a really long time for us to get through it because we had to be in the car at the same time. Like, the settings had to be perfect.
That's funny.
But yeah, so we finally finished it and I really enjoyed it again. And I'm glad that I reread it because I've always said that it's one of my faves. And now this is like re-upped it. I'm like, yep, this book
is
really
so
solid.
Good. Yeah.
Super recommend it to anyone who is in any way creative because it's about a person explaining their creativity and their life as a working artist. And in this case, he's a writer, but he talks about his process, how he writes, where he writes, the process, his advice to writers, how he literally crafts things, but also it's definitely largely a memoir about his life and how he got into writing and why he got into writing and all these sorts of things. So it was great. It was really, really good. Super recommend it. And I'm glad that I reread it. Also, I just realized that I'm not wearing my engagement ring in this video. And I was like, oh my God, imagine there's a scandal and someone's like, they're not engaged anymore. Okay, so the other day I saw Kate Blanchett in the trailer for Borderlands. I don't even want to talk about
But
I just typed in Kate Blanchett into Google because I wanted to see like what are her movies that are coming out or something. And when I typed it in, the first result that came up was like scandal about Kate Blanchett. People think, sources say she's not married anymore. And I was like, what? And I clicked through. It got me. I clicked through and it was like, she has been spotted in three different occasions not wearing her wedding ring. And I was like, okay. First of all, she was wearing like really fancy gowns with really giant, like cosmetically beautiful.
Yeah. If you're going to events, your jewelry might be different.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, literally, I think it's just for the costume, but or for the outfit or whatever. But I was like, this is so. But then just now in this moment, I was like, oh my God, what if people do a Cate Blanchett and think I'm not engaged? I am still engaged. I took the ring to the jeweler and I was like, what do you think? Because I feel like it's too floppy.
Yeah.
And they were like, it's way too floppy. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I literally said, I was like, my friend who has an engagement ring, she said that her fingers swell in more, obviously, in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes, but this is too much.
Just a little bit too much. Yeah.
It's a little bit too much. So she agreed. And yeah, so it's just being resized. Nobody panic.
I'm good.
Nobody freak out. Okay, the other book that I finished this week was Feel Good Productivity by Ali Abdaal. Ali Abdaal is a former doctor who transitioned into a full-time productivity YouTuber. His YouTube channel has over 5 million subscribers and was launched primarily as a place to help other medical students navigate exams before transitioning more largely into study videos and then productivity videos. He was born in Pakistan, lives now in London, and Feel Good Productivity is his first book, which was published December of 2023. So I talked a bit about this book when I first brought up that I was reading mm-hmm. it. And yeah, I like Ali Abdaal a lot. I think his YouTube videos are really great. He seems like a really cool, chill dude. And I enjoy his calm attitude in yeah. his videos. He just seems like, I don't know, because there's such a genre of like productivity bros, and it's sometimes good, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. But I just really enjoy his videos. And I think his book really well encapsulates his video vibes.
Okay.
Like Feel Good Productivity. He's just trying to like live a good life. Mm-hmm. And he has a lot of dreams and ambitions and aspirations, but he also just wants to in a lot of his videos, he'll be like, okay, let's talk about how to set goals. He's like, these are my 5 goals this month. Spend more time with my girlfriend. Make sure to call my mom. And it's like, and then it'll be like, get my business to this thing and yeah. get my YouTube channel to this thing. So he always has a really good work-life balance yeah. as his goals and stuff like
That's
that. Cool. Whereas I find a lot of productivity YouTubers can just be like, how to make more money, how to retire at 35, yeah. how to yeah. invest. And you're like, oh my God, this is a scared. Very stressful situation. I really liked his book and I really recommend it actually, which nice. Is not to say that was unexpected, but I just really wasn't sure. It's mm-hmm. always it is unfortunately a bit of a toss up when it comes to YouTubers publishing books, if you can like kind of trust them or
and
not.
And maybe like self-help in general too. Like it could be useful
exactly,
and it
yeah.
could not be.
I totally agree. And you know, there's that whole phenomenon where you read a nonfiction book and you're like, the idea was good, but you could have said this in 100 pages instead yeah. of 300 yeah. pages. And then you find out it was originally an article that they like ballooned up for it to be a book or whatever.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. I was like, maybe this is going to be a case where like, you should just watch his videos mm-hmm. and like he's just trying to put his videos into a book and I wouldn't blame him, but at the same time I was like, I don't know if it's gonna matter that it's in book form.
Right.
I think he wrote a great book. Like I think
awesome.
This is a really good book. I think that if you know nothing about him, you stumbled upon this in a bookshop, you liked the theme and the concept and then you read it, you would get everything out of it. Then it doesn't matter if you know about his channel or mm-hmm. not. I think it's such a great self-help book. And so basically, it's all in the title. It is about like how to feel good in your life while also being productive and how those two things actually have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
And he spends a lot of the book sharing like really interesting studies. You can really tell that this guy was a doctor, like very evidence-based, very studies-based, where he's like, okay, I want to talk about the topic of this. And here we're going to start with a study that proves this. And here's another study that showed this other facet of it. And they were all really interesting studies. There was this one study that was like, he explained a little puzzle. And I listened to this as an audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
I was driving along in the car and he explained this little puzzle. He's like, you're given these 4 things and you're told to do this. How do you do it? And I was driving and I was like, oh, I think I would do this and then this. Let's see if I'm right. And he's like, he's like, so did you get this answer? And he's like, that's the right answer. I was like, I'm a genius in the car.
Hell yeah.
And then he was like, he explained that the study was done because basically it proved that the way that they did it proved that like the happier you are, the more creative you are and the more creative solutions you come up to for the same problem. And so they like can present this simple-ish problem to people. But
yeah.
if you're in a good mood versus if you're in a bad mood, you will get to the answer
Ooh,
faster
because
okay. it requires like a little bit of a creative solution. And so if you're, and it was some, again, proving his point, like the better you feel, the more positivity you put into your life and into your goals and follow what feels good as opposed to like just doing things because you feel like you're supposed to do them.
Mm-hmm.
that is actually the key to productivity. And I was like, what a great message. Like, honestly, what a great message. That's awesome. For people to read. So yeah. Really recommend that if I still think you can still be in the beginning of the year mood. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You're still like, I still really want to make a lot of this year. Or if you're like, oh God, I already feel like some of my goals are starting to slip and you want to get back on it. I think this is such a great book to read anytime to try and help you like uplift. You can get back on track, but also in a way that isn't stressful. It's like very positive and friendly.
That's awesome. I love that.
Those are all the books I read this week.
Huh. Okay. Gosh. Well, I read two books. One of them is a secret, and I can't talk about it until next week when it's PG time. So, unfortunately, I only have one book to review, and that is The Private Eye by Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin. Brian K. Vaughan is an American comic book and television writer, best known for the comic book series Why the Last Man, Ex Machina, Runaways, Pride of Baghdad, Saga, and Paper Girls. Vaughan was also a writer, story editor, and producer of the television series Lost during seasons 3 through 5. Marcos Martin is a Spanish comic book artist who usually illustrates American comics, best known for Batgirl Year One, Daredevil, and The Private Eye. As the people might remember, this is a book that you sent me for...
Yeah.
Was it Christmas? Yeah, I guess it was Christmas.
Yes.
And it's the only like graphic novel I have on my TBR right now, basically. And so I was like, I would like to read that soon. But I was also just coming off of not finishing A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. And I was like, I need a win here. I need to just like read a book because I have only read like 4 books or something this year. Like, it's been a little bit grim. So I was like, you know what? I want to read something that'll be quick. And it's fun to read books that, you know, we just got recently. So I read this.
Yeah.
And it was really good. I really, really enjoyed it. So yeah, the only thing I didn't like was like, how it's very, very long, like wide.
It's so long. I imagined when you would open it that it would
be. I'm gonna just like show it to the YouTube viewers. Like,
yeah,
it's huge. It's like as tall as me when you open it up.
That's funny.
So the actual reading experience was a little bit weird. I had to like lay it out on a table. But other than that, like, I really enjoyed the story and the art was really good. So the plot of this is basically the main character is this private investigator, and it's set in like a near future, like kind of 60 years in the future, when basically what has happened is, you know how everything is kind of in the cloud now, like everybody saves all their stuff to the cloud. Basically the cloud burst, as they call it, and everybody's information was released. And so all the people from this generation who are basically like us, like millennials and people who are, you know, people now in our now time, they basically all have gone into hiding almost, and like people like, because privacy has become such an issue. And so it's set 60 years after this happened. And so the main character obviously wasn't alive when it happened, but his grandpa is basically like a millennial who is like, he like misses technology and he's like always wishing he could go back online because he misses it so much. And it is quite funny. It's like, it's imagine us 60 years from now, like we don't have our tech anymore. We're all scared and sad. And
what's funny, okay, I don't remember when this was written, but I actually feel like most millennials want to get rid of their tech.
Yeah, I know. That's like, it is funny.
Like, I feel like we've kind of swung around the other way now, where most millennials that I know are like, what happened? Like,
totally.
This is way too much.
Yeah, I think this came out like 6 years ago at this point.
I feel like the tech that we are nostalgic for is like MSN.
Yeah, like the kind of retro stuff where it was simpler.
Yeah.
There wasn't, you know, we didn't really do video calls. Like, yeah, MSN is so true. I would just text chat with people from my school. But yeah, so that's like the plot of this. So everybody kind of walks around wearing masks and costumes so that they can hide their identity. Okay. And so the main character is this PI who kind of like helps uncover like people's identities and stuff. And
cool.
Yeah, so it's like a really interesting plot, and the art style is very colorful, very bold kind of comic style. So it was a lot of fun to read. Like, I had a really good time with it. I just read it over a couple of evenings and it was excellent. So I would say if you can get your hands on a copy or read it online or something. I'm not really sure how you can access this book because it seemed kind of rare, but it was definitely worth read.
I felt like it was a little hard to get, but it seemed like if you had time to wait, you could get it. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of just like on back order or whatever.
Oh,
like, you, if
okay.
you have 2 months, it'll get to you.
Totally.
But I didn't have 2 months because I had to get it to you for the Christmas episode.
Totally. But yeah, so I highly recommend it. Like, Brian K. Vaughan never disappoints me. Like, I love Saga. I love Why the Last Man. He's just awesome. So I'm really glad you bought it for me because I would have probably never read this, but I'm glad that I did because it was awesome. So I think I'll just quickly tell you guys what I'm reading now before we get out of here. So I'm actually reading three books right now, which normally would be stressful to me, but I am feeling very chill about it. I don't know what, something is changing in me and I'm becoming a different person. So the first thing I'm reading is actually The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle, which is funny because I just talked about it in like a couple episodes ago as something I was hoping to read soon. And we got some comments that were like, that's a great book. You should read it. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to read it. What the hell? And so far, we'll see. I'm not like loving it, but I'll keep you posted next week. And then I'm also reading The Island of Dr. Moreau by H.G. Wells, which is a reread. And I'm reading this. This is a fun little sneak preview to the coming months. Yep. I'm recording an audiobook of this for our Patreon subscribers. Yes. So I am currently 32 pages in. It's taking me a long time to read it, obviously, because I'm reading it for an audiobook, so I probably won't finish it, like, by next week, but I'm doing my best because I'm recording an audiobook, which is really fun, although I'm having to look up so many words because I don't know how to pronounce them. They're, like, ancient boat words, like, boat words from the 1800s, and I'm like, I don't know. I realized I didn't know how to say schooner before I started recording this book, so now I know.
Do you remember how you thought it was pronounced?
Schooner.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's
I recorded the whole chapter and I was like, that felt wrong. I should look that up. And now I just look up every word I don't know how to pronounce. So that's been my process.
That's better than having to go back. Yes. Oh, that's funny.
Okay, and the final book I'm reading is, it's actually not a book. Okay. And this is going to be really strange. So I'm reading a fan fiction. Yes. So as you may remember, in our wrap-up episodes, we were reading about, you know, different books that people said were their favorite books of 2023 and all this stuff. And as I pointed out, there were three people who said that their favorite thing they read the entire year was this fan fiction called Manacled by Senlin Yu.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a Harry Potter fan fiction that's basically The Handmaid's Tale meets Harry Potter. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so you know how in Community they have the darkest timeline? This is the darkest timeline for Harry Potter, I think. It's really dark. Voldemort has won. Everybody's dead except for Hermione. Hermione is one of the only people who has survived. And basically, Voldemort has this like reproduction effort going on. And it's just, ooh, it's really grim.
Oh, but like to make more wizards.
Yeah, because basically like the wizarding population is dying out. Turns out purebloods don't have great fertility rates. And so they are basically using other people, like the half-bloods.
Okay, I see
and
what you're saying.
Blood.
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, exactly. It literally, like, the author was inspired by The Handmaid's Tale. They watched the first episode of The Handmaid's Tale and were like, wait, this is really interesting. And so far, I'm really loving it. I'm actually buddy reading it with a friend. Wow. And it's been a fun experience. Like, it's definitely a dark read, but it's really good. Like, it's really well written. And I'm just enjoying, like, we were talking about this the other day. I'm enjoying reading it because it's easy to read because I already understand the world so well. And so it's like you just jump in and there basically doesn't need to be much world building. It's kind of like, okay, so this is where we're at. And you're like, yep, I understand everything. Like, I understand how the magic works, all this kind of stuff. So I'm enjoying just like how easy it is to kind of fall into it. And it's very readable. So while I'm reading some slower classics on the side, I'm also reading this like fast paced fan fiction. So it's really long, though.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's 77 chapters.
It says it's 900 pages long.
Yeah, which I know. The funny thing is, it's like, I feel like I'm afraid of reading long, like long books like that. But for some reason, this doesn't stress me out at all. Like, I'm just okay with the fact that I'm going to be reading it for a while. And reading it with a friend is helping. So we're basically reading like five chapters a week, kind of roughly.
This morning, an article was published on today.com.
Is it because the book is being published?
Semi-legit. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that too.
But not in its...
Oh no, it's going to have to be rewritten completely because it's literally just The Handmaid's Tale and Harry Potter squished together.
That seems like a copyright nightmare.
Exactly. So, and I read about this. The author is going through like extensive rewrites, but the book is actually going to be, like, the story is going to be published in some form, which I think is so interesting. Because this is like a really, really popular fan fiction. Like, it's huge. So the fans are rabid for this story.
I find fan fiction so fascinating.
It is.
I I think we've talked before about how I can't read fan fiction because my brain can't get over the fact that it's not canon. I'm like, why would I waste my time reading? Yeah. Like, that's how it feels like. I'm just narrating my brain. I'm like, why would I waste time reading something that's not real? Like, as if any of it is real. But you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. It's not literally real. All fiction.
Yeah. It's all fiction. But I'm like, but this is fiction of fiction. It's like not, it's so unreal. But like, I can't objectively understand why people really like it. Mm-hmm. And then when something like this happens where like, this is kind of what happened with 50 Shades of Grey, right? Yeah. Like, that was Twilight fan fiction, and then she reworked it to be able to publish it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it's just kind of cheesy, right? It says, the enemies to lovers romance centered around Hermione and Draco will undergo a transformation to become a novel called Alchemized. Ooh. And you're like, okay, so they're still wizards. Like, oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that.
I know.
That's really
it's
fascinating.
Wild.
Good for her. For her.
I know, and it's she just funny it. For me, like, this is not something I ever anticipated. I never thought I was going to be here, but I'm happy to be here.
That's so fascinating. Yeah. Cool. All right, neat. Well, I am still currently reading Seven Empty Houses. I didn't make any progress on it because basically I stuck to my audiobooks and to the e-reader book. But other than that, I'm not really sure where I'm going to go next.
Fun.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. As always, we had a good time chatting, catching up. I feel like we had so much to catch up on.
Yes.
So this was kind of a longer episode than anyone saw coming, but that's good. That's probably good. All right. Thank you guys so much. We're going to go record our Patreon mini podcast, The Question Vase, where we answer questions that you ask. Like Q&A. Get it? Okay. Thank you guys so much, and we'll talk to you next time.